Welcome to episode 1331 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. For the next several months, we are hoping to discover the posture David embodied. Seeing God's law as gift rather than burden, recognizing that genuine human flourishing comes through alignment with God's design, and understanding that obedience is the natural overflow of delighting in God Himself. We have the opportunity to experience a life rooted, ordered, and made whole. This week, we're slowing down and sitting with the first commandment, God's first guideline for abundant living.
You shall have no other gods before me.
This sentence is short, but it is searching, and it reaches deeper than we often realize. The first word spoken, the first boundary drawn, the first invitation into freedom. Today, we are not talking about ancient statues or primitive beliefs, because this commandment is not primarily about religion. It is about trust, about where the heart goes when pressure rises, about what quietly claims our loyalty when God feels distant, slow, or silent. Today, we're talking about the quiet gods, the ones that don't announce themselves, the ones that don't demand temples, the ones that slip into our lives disguised as help. One of the most difficult spiritual disciplines is not obedience. It is waiting. Waiting stretches us. Waiting exposes us. Waiting reveals what we really trust. In the biblical story, there is a moment when waiting becomes unbearable. Moses has gone up the mountain. The cloud has closed in. Days pass. Then more days. The people cannot see what is happening. And scripture records this devastatingly honest line.
As for this Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him.
That sentence matters. Notice what they do not say. They do not say, we reject the Lord. They do not say, we deny his power. They do not renounce the miracles they have witnessed. They say, we don't know. Uncertainty is the pressure point. When the future becomes unclear, when leadership disappears, when answers don't come quickly, the human heart looks for something to stabilize itself. Uncertainty does something powerful to the human heart. When God feels distant, when answers are delayed, when the future feels unstable, the heart reaches, not always for truth, but for relief. So the people approach someone they know, someone who has been with them before they had even imagined they could escape Egypt. They find Aaron, the brother of Moses, and ask for something startlingly specific. Make us gods who will go before us. That phrase, go before us, is revealing. They are not asking for a God to worship privately. They are asking for something that will lead, guide, reassure. This is not rebellion for rebellion's sake. This is fear management. In their fear, in their clawing for relief, the people ask for a God they can see, a God they can control, a God who will go before them, immediately. And a golden calf appears. Here's the key insight we often miss. The golden calf is not born out of arrogance. It is born out of anxiety. This is not defiance. This is despair. This is not forgetting what God has done for them or asked of them. This is fear management. They are trying to stabilize themselves in the absence of clarity. And that's how most idols are born. The golden calf is not created because the people hate God. It is created because they are afraid of not knowing what comes next. The calf represents something visible, predictable, immediate. And this is how idolatry usually works. Idols rarely enter our lives announcing themselves as rivals to God. They arrive as solutions. Quiet gods do not demand temples. They don't require rituals or incense. They simply offer relief. They promise certainty when life feels chaotic, control when outcomes feel fragile, validation when identity feels shaky. These gods rarely feel sinful. They feel practical. We turn to productivity to quiet anxiety, achievement to secure worth, control to avoid vulnerability, distraction to numb discomfort, approval to reassure the self. None of these things are evil in themselves. But when they become the place our heart runs to instead of trust, they stop being tools. They become gods. So when God says, "You shall have no other gods before me," he is not demanding religious purity for his ego. He is naming a truth about the human heart. Everyone trusts something. Everyone relies on something. Everyone has a center of gravity. The question is not whether you will have a God. The question is what that God will ask of you. Because whatever you trust most will eventually shape you. and whatever shapes you will rule you. We may not melt gold today, but we still build replacements. We build them quietly, responsibly, even admirably. We build them out of being indispensable, staying busy, being competent, being admired, being right, being needed. And these gods are subtle. They don't confront us, they reassure us, until they don't. Until they begin to demand more time, more energy, more emotional sacrifice. Until rest feels irresponsible, trust feels risky, and surrender feels impossible. So let's slow down and ask a gentle but revealing question. When anxiety rises in you, not when life is calm, but when it is unsettled, where do you go first? Not eventually, not ideally. First, do you work harder, scroll longer, plan more aggressively, control conversations, rehearse outcomes, seek affirmation, use a few unholy words? That reflex reveals your quiet gods, and noticing them is not failure. It is the beginning of freedom. This is why this commandment comes first. Because if trust is misplaced, everything else collapses. God does not begin by regulating behavior. He begins by addressing allegiance. Because hearts shaped by false trust will recreate bondage, will return to mental slavery, even after liberation. The people left Egypt physically, but Egypt had not yet left their hearts. So God speaks, not in anger, but in mercy.
Do not give your heart to what cannot carry it.
Here's today's practice, just 1 minute. Think of the last moment you felt anxious, rushed, or uncertain. Ask yourself, what did I reach for to steady myself? Don't justify it. Don't correct it. Just notice. Because awareness is the doorway to reordering love. The first commandment is not God competing for attention. It is God protecting his people from entrusting their lives to what cannot love them back. He is the only God who liberates before lawgiving, confers identity before instruction, and remains patient with fearful hearts. The first commandment is not God competing for attention or acting out of insecurity. Instead, it is a protective boundary. God is shielding his people from the tragedy of entrusting their lives, our lives, to things that are incapable of loving them, loving us, back. He warns us against false gods because they are ultimately hollow. They take everything and return nothing. The God of the Bible stands unique because of how he relates to his people. He liberates before giving the law. God does not offer a deal where we must first prove our obedience to earn his help. In the Exodus story, he rescues the Israelites while they are still in bondage, before they have done anything to deserve it. The law is not a set of requirements to achieve freedom. It is a guide on how to live once you are already free. Relationship always precedes the rules. He confers identity before giving instruction. At Mount Sinai, God first declares who he is and who the people are to him, his treasured possession, before he issues a single command. He establishes our sense of worth and belonging as a gift. Our value is anchored in his declaration of our status, not in our ability to follow instructions perfectly. We don't obey to become someone. We obey because we already belong. He remains patient with fearful hearts. God understands that the muscle memory of slavery and fear does not vanish overnight. Even when the Israelites grumbled or looked back at Egypt, God did not abandon them. He remains a steady presence for those who are anxious or unsure. He is more committed to the slow process of our transformation than he is to immediate, flawless performance. He provides a foundation that cannot be shaken. God is the only authority capable of bearing the full weight of human hope. Every other god, whether it is career success, family, or personal reputation, is fragile. If you make a good thing your ultimate thing, it will eventually fail you because it was never meant to be your god. Only the Creator is strong enough to be the anchor for our security and the source of our meaning, without breaking under the pressure of our expectations. The first commandment is God's way of inviting us into a relationship with the only power in the universe that is both absolute in authority and infinite in love. Father, when fear rises quietly within us, help us notice where our trust drifts. Reveal the quiet gods that promise relief but cannot give rest. Gently teach our hearts to rely on you again. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,